Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another bite-sized political podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. Hope you enjoy this. We're going to talk about NATO, the global predator. But before we get to that, a quick reminder, hit the heart button before you leave the show if you enjoy it. And don't forget, you can support us here in the work that we do by, if you want to buy me a coffee, there's a link below you can use to do that. Or if you'd want to drop a pound or even a dollar in the donor box, we've got that below for you as well. So either which way, you can give us a little support for the work that we do. So I want to talk about NATO because, you know, in my view, and I've said this often enough, I believe that NATO stopped having any meaning when the Soviet Union fell. And at that point, the right thing would have been to have shut up shop and gone away. But NATO didn't shut up shop. In fact, as the years have gone by, through the 90s into the noughties, and now here we go in the 20s, NATO becomes more and more of a menace. And let me explain what I mean by that. I read in the press today that Finland and Sweden have presented their NATO applications, adding, and this is with gushing voice, nearly a million troops to the alliance forces in defiance of Russian threats. Russia was never threatening Finland and Sweden. But anyway, let's not let facts get in the way. So what have we got here? Well, we've got the head of the alliance, Jan Stoltenberg, saying, "I warmly welcome the request by Finland and Sweden to join NATO. You are our closest partners. All allies agree on the importance of NATO enlargement. We all agree that we must stand together, and we all agree that this is a historic moment which we must seize. This is a good day." Well, he's saying that, but of course, it's all hyperbole. So there's a couple of things to point out. First of all, for Sweden and Finland to be accepted in, all 30 members of the alliance need to accept it. And this process, it's explained, typically takes up to a year, but they're trying to get it through by the end of June or so if they can. If approved as expected, so I love the way the media is saying, yeah, it's completely going to happen, even though, for example, Turkey have said no, and Hungary remains oddly silent, then this is going to give almost a million troops, as along with state-of-the-art artillery, planes, and submarines. Take that, Putin. Now you're on the run. NATO is going to sort you out. So there's all these all the stuff that all these wonderful military assets that Finland has. Finland's got 21,000 troops. Sweden rather fewer, 6,850. And it goes through. I can see the breakdown. Oh, the Finns have got 62 fighter aircraft and Sweden's got 96. Boom, take that. And so it goes. The reality of the matter is it doesn't matter how many troops Finland has. And it doesn't matter how many troops Sweden has. Russia's got hypersonic missiles. One button, 10 seconds later, there is no Finland. There is no Sweden. That's the point. NATO is encircling like an anaconda wrapping itself around its victim. NATO is slowly encircling Russia. And it's basically saying to Russia, as the meme would have it, do something. Come on. Attack one of our members and see what happens. So it's like NATO wants World War III. I know that sounds hyperbolic, but honestly, if you look at the hard facts and you look at what's happening, Russia is the NATO forces are pushing right up to that Russian border. Well, do you think that makes war more or less likely? I believe it makes war much more likely. And that's never mind what their NATO is doing by proxy in Ukraine. So we know that essentially NATO is at war with Russia and using the poor saps in Ukraine as the intermediary. So we know that. But this notion that somehow or another, this is Swiss, the addition of these Nordic countries is really going to put it to to Putin, I think is a foolish misunderstanding. The other thing is, and I touched on this yesterday, NATO's ambitions don't just lie in encircling Russia. There's another country that I believe it wants to also put huge amount of pressure on, and that's China. Now, I've been very critical about the Chinese Communist Party, and I still am. But by the same token, it's clear from, for example, the words of our Foreign Secretary Liz Truss, that the UK and NATO, by definition, remember, NATO really is the UK and the US, it's got ambitions to similarly try and encircle China, if not physically, then economically, deploy sanctions against China, which is going to cause all kinds of global problems. So it's like NATO seems to want to be the one world government's military wing. That's what NATO is, and that's why I oppose it. I absolutely oppose. NATO should have disbanded roughly 30 years ago. There's no place for it anymore. But instead, it's making itself indispensable, which is why, hence Ukraine. And if you recall, back in 2015, Hillary Clinton was talking about the need to go to war with Russia if necessary. And all it took was Joe Biden to get in the White House and you get your war with Russia. And that's why people are dying in Ukraine. Well, people say, oh, David, you're misrepresenting. Don't you know that Putin invaded? Well, did he invade, or was it a military incursion into part of Ukraine? Because as far as I can see, not all, you know, the entire Russian military did not go to Ukraine. That's the first thing. And it did not try to take on and take over every aspect of Ukraine. Putin told us what the ambitions were: the denazification of the West, to provide safety to the Russian-speaking people of the Donbass. And more or less, that's the ambitions. I know there's also the Crimea as the port, but, you know, kind of pretty clear in his own, from his own words, what Putin wanted. The other thing he said was he didn't want Ukraine to be in NATO. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Whenever Ukraine is split into two by Russia, and that's happening, the part of Ukraine that will remain will join NATO. And that way, essentially, NATO will have almost completely encircled Russia. It will have moved its forces up to the Russian border. Now, why would you do that? There's only one reason you would do that, and that is if you want a war. And I believe, as a global predator, that's exactly what NATO wants. Thanks for listening.